Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Cozy Pillow Talk. I'm your host. It is me, Alex, and I'm so very thankful to have you here today. Today we are going to be talking about Thomas, his story. We are continuing the story. It is part two. If you have not listened to part one yet, please go back and listen to part one. It would mean a lot to me. It would mean a lot to him. It would mean a lot to everybody and to yourself just to catch up on this incredible story of somebody going through the church, living in the church, being born in the church, growing up in a cult, the society, seeing how things are, the mentality. So where we left off last time was basically about him being on his mission. He was serving in Utah. And so I guess that's where we will pick up again. I hope you enjoyed this one. So like within your mission in general, like, okay, so we had some good times. You had this really nice, well, like just a way nice companion compared to like whatever you had, mm-hmm. except when you got mad, this and that. Mm-hmm. So when did things started to take like a worse turn for you on your mission?
Things started to get worse when my sister, who had cancer, told me the doctor said that I'm not going to live for a long time. I don't know when exactly I'm going to die, but it's supposed to be like soon, like maybe within a year or maybe in 2 years. Like she didn't know at all, but she knew it was going to be like soon. And so she asked me to go home and to quit my mission to spend time with her. And I was like, okay, sure.
So that was no question for you at all?
For me, I was like, even though I don't even have a testimony about that church, I hope that it's true and I want it to be true. And if it's true, I know that God might want me to stay and to serve and to finish my mission, because that's a commandment, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, that's what I was thinking because I was raised Mormon. But what I really wanted, of course, was to go home first because I didn't like my mission and I wanted to go home. But also because I was like, well, my sister is dying. Of course, I'm going to go home. Like, no questions on that.
So it's like basically a fight between your actual thoughts and your
and what I should think.
And your Mormon thoughts.
Exactly. And so
And also, how was the communication back then when it was coming to talk to family? Because I know
I was able to email him once a week.
Every Monday, right?
Every Monday. But I was a thug life, so I talked to her through Messenger every day.
Yeah.
But then I had to delete the conversation because if my companion would see it, I would get in trouble and blah, blah. So I was talking to her every day and I prayed to know what I should do. And at some point I texted my mission president and I said, okay, my sister is going to die. I want to go home. What can you do?
At one point did you like feel like, okay, I need to go home now? Like, did you kind of think like, oh, like, oh, maybe it's going to like last a bit long. It's going to stay. But
for me, I didn't know, but I was like, either way, even if she dies in 2 years or if she dies next week, I just want to go home now because it's when she will be like in shape and not too weak that I want to be with her. Mm-hmm. Because if I go home and she's too weak, then it's going to be a little bit pointless because she would be in a bed, and she wouldn't be able to move.
She can't do much, yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, because we don't know, to make sure, I should go home now.
Mm-hmm.
So I texted him, and he called me and said, yeah, I received your text. I think you should pray and think more about this decision. I'll see what I can do. I'm going to say that to the church headquarters in Salt Lake City and see what we can do. And I was like, okay, thank you. And a few days later, like 3 days, which were like, they seemed huge to me because for me, I was like, I need to go home like today or tomorrow.
Within the next hours, yeah.
Yeah. Like he called me back 3 days after. And he was like, okay, so I told the church headquarters and they told me that Neil Anderson wants to meet you in person.
Who,
at the MTC.
And who is Neil Anderson?
He's one of the 12 apostles. And he was my dad's mission president when my dad was a missionary in France.
So we're talking about some really big guy
like
in the church. You have the prophet.
One of the big boss. Yeah.
You have the prophet. He's the very first, he's the head of the church.
Yeah.
And then beneath the prophet, you have his three little counselor guys who
the
like
two, yeah,
yeah,
two counselors.
Yeah, yeah, two counselors next to him who are like, I guess his, what would we say, like his left and right hand, basically.
Exactly.
And then underneath those guys, you have the 12 apostles, who basically...
They're like the big stars in the Mormon church.
The
stars. Yeah, like they're like, whoa, an apostle, that's crazy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to meet me personally, to talk to me. And when my president said that, I was like, okay, fine. So I was supposed to meet him like 3 days after.
So what were you thinking, the fact that he wants to talk to you?
In my head, I was like... It's going to be super exciting to meet an apostle. And my dad, because he was a missionary for him, back then when he served his mission, my dad, he told me, this guy is amazing. This guy, oh my God, I love him so much. He's one of the best person I know. And his wife also, wow, I love them as death. He's like my dad, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, I'm so excited to meet that amazing guy. But at the same time, I was like, why does he want to talk to me? Like, I just asked to go home. So mm-hmm. if he wants to see me and to talk to me, maybe something weird is going to happen. But I was like, maybe he just wants to see me before I go back to France, because he knows my dad and
situation.
He just wants to, I don't just to be nice. And so 3 days after, I went to the MTC with my mission president to meet with him. And on the way to go there, I remember I told my mission president, oh, I'm so excited to go home to see my sister. And he was like, but you know that you might not go home. And I was like, why not? And he said, you're going to meet an apostle and you'll have to consider what he's going to tell you. And I was like, but my sister is going to die. So even though if he tells me to stay, like, I'm going home because that's normal. He was so rude at me when I said that, and he didn't talk to me for the rest of the travel. And I was like, okay, fine. So I was
How old were you at that point?
I was 19. Okay. I just turned 19.
Okay.
Well, I turned 19 like 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
6 weeks
yeah.
before. And then I came to the MTC and I sat into a room with my mission president and we waited. On the way to go to this room, I saw Russell
M. Nelson?
Yeah, who is now the prophet of the church. So I was like, whoa, I just saw an apostle because he was an apostle. And I was like, whoa, crazy. And then I went to that room and I waited. And then Neil Anderson and his wife came. I was like, whoa, I'm seeing stars, like real stars. And I was so happy. And he hugged me and was like, oh my God.
Did he remember your dad?
Yeah, he said, whoa, I'm so happy to see you. I've met your sister once and I love your dad so much.
He met your sister?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
My older one, not my younger
one. Yeah, your older one.
He was like, oh my God, I'm so happy to meet you. You're kind of like my grandson. Like, I love your dad as death, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, nice to meet you. And his wife was so nice. Like, hi, so happy to meet you. You look so much like your dad. I was so happy.
And you're like, I don't want to look like my dad.
Oh, thank you. But then they closed the door and they started to be like, okay, so explain us. Why do you want to go home? And I was like, well, my sister is going to die. But also, back in that time, my dad had a cancer of the colon.
Yeah, he had colon cancer.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, so I was like, it's time to go home.
Make sure you get yourself checked, by the way.
I know. I need to. I know.
Just, you know.
But so I was like, well, my dad has this, but my sister is going to die soon. We don't know when, but she wants me to go home and I want to go home. And he was like, you know, God, he wants you to stay here. Like, you believe in the plan of salvation. You know that even though in the worst case your sister dies, like, you're going to see her after. And like, he was so nice. Like, and you know, if you want your family to have the blessings, you need to stay here. Blah blah blah. And his wife was like, yeah, during my mission, maybe my aunt or my sister, she died, and I stayed on my mission because I knew that it was what God wanted me to do, blah, blah. And they were at first so nice. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. Like, I understand what you mean, but no, I really want to go home. And then they started to get so pissed. They started to talk to me like if I was a piece of shit. They were so rude, so cold. They said that I lied. I just wanted to go home because I didn't like the mission. I was using my sister as an excuse. They said that I didn't have faith and I had a lack of faith in the plan of salvation in God, that I didn't understand who God was and what the real gospel should make me do and things like that. And, like, they were so freaking rude, like so rude. Now I forgot a little bit of what they said, but I did a post on Facebook when it was fresh in my mind that explains everything in details. So if you want to go check that, you can go into my profile, my Facebook profile, and you can read the story. Like, they were so freaking rude, and I started to cry. I never cry, like never, but they put so much pressure on me that, oh, I cried. And I just wanted them to tell me, okay, like, you want to go home. But no, they were like, they were judging me, and they even told me, if you go home, your life is going to be miserable because all of the people that we know who didn't finish their mission, their life sucks. Now you're going to have the same life as your dad. He divorced, he has a crappy job, he's unhappy, blah blah blah. Like, they started to say like super rude things to me, and yeah, so and then they try to make me stay. And so they said, if you stay here on the mission, you're going to be a zone leader and then the assistant of the president. So, like,
you're gonna come like, in higher positions with
exactly.
The church.
Exactly. And they said, we're going to.
Did they kind of promise you that, like, if you say so? They kind of tried to bribe you.
Yeah. And they said, if you stay, we're going to have you for lunch every week. Like, that was so dumb for them to say that. Like, do you think that a meal per day is going to change the fact that my sister is going to die? Like, and they said, then we give you the right to Skype your sister every week. And I was like, yeah, sure. Like, they did everything that they could. And they even showed me a story, like, someday a missionary wanted to go home and he did. And then his life was like so bad and it happened this and this and this is going to happen to you if you go home. Like, I don't know, it was so weird, like the weirdest time in my life. And at the end, the apostle said, if you stay, I give you a blessing so you can stay and be strong. And I said, oh, that's so nice. I'm going to pray to know if I should stay or go. And I prayed and I came back and said, I didn't feel anything.
You prayed right then and there and that, because they want to know the answer there. Oh.
And I prayed and I said, I didn't feel anything. So I guess I'm just going to go home. And I said, but can you please give me the blessing, like a blessing to make sure that I'm going to stay strong in the church when I'll be back home, and like not to be too sad for my sister, blah, blah. And she said, no.
He said,
and
no.
And I was so shocked. And I was like, why not? And he said, God, he doesn't want you to go, so no. And he stood up and he left, and that he came back because he thought that it was too rude to live like that. So he came and did like a hug, but like just tuk, tuk.
Oh yeah, like
just like to pretend like yeah, like
we had an understanding, like yeah.
And he left.
Oh.
And his wife, she didn't even hug me. She just left, like, okay, bye.
No,
like,
way.
You didn't do what we told you to, so bye. Like,
no way.
And I was in tears again. Yeah. My president was a little bit shocked, but he came and he hugged me and he was like, I love you. And I was like, okay, thank you. Because during the way to go to the MTC, he was so rude at me. So then he was like, oh, maybe they were way too rude with him. So I'll try to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
So he drove me back home.
Did he agree with you about going home in the end?
He said, I love you and you will be blessed in consequence. So like, you will have the blessings of the mission that you did, but not all of them because you didn't.
Yeah, just for everything you served, you'll get those kind of blessings, but not
exactly
for the whole package. Okay.
So he said in consequence. So,
yeah.
So I was like, okay, fine. I went home, but I didn't want to share that story with the other people because in my mind, I was like, whoa, I said no to an apostle. He asked me to stay and
that
I said no.
That is a big deal.
I'm such a thug life. God, he hates me now because I didn't obey to one of his apostles on earth. I'm such a thug life. I'm so selfish. I decided to go home to see my sister instead of staying here. And since that day, I was like, whoa, are the apostles really apostles? Like, are they really call from God? Because this guy was like the biggest piece of shit that I've seen in my life. He was so rude.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, I don't describe well the way he acted with
mm-hmm.
me, but on my post you
on
can
Facebook,
see, yeah.
yeah,
like,
I'll put the link in the description.
Oh, thank you. Like, well, he was so rude, so rude. So yeah, then I came home in my mission with my companion.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to see a psychologist until they bought my plane ticket. And the plane ticket, it took like maybe one more week to come.
Do you think they try to like wait a little bit so you can like change your mind?
Yes. And also at the same time, my president, he told me like, by the way, because you want to go home by yourself, you'll need to buy your own plane ticket. And I was like, eh?
Oh, really?
I was like, okay. But I knew I was poor, so I was like, should I do like a loan at the bank just to go home? Like, that was so weird. But no, they bought me a plane ticket 1 week after and I came home. And when I came home on the plane, I was alone for the first time after 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so happy in my mind. I was like, I'm finally free. I finally escaped this mission that I hated. I'm escaping this church that didn't bring me joy. And I was like, I'm starting my real life right now. And on the way back home, I watched a lot of movies, even though I wasn't supposed to, but like scary ones.
Who's checking on the plane?
Actually, Mormons everywhere in the plane. The ones just next to me, they were like, oh, we're going back to the mission of my husband back when he was 20.
Oh,
and they were like, are you supposed to watch that kind of movies? And I was like, I'm not a missionary anymore because my bishop, he called me and said, okay, you're good, but I just want to keep the name tag just
mm-hmm.
because I love it. Like, I had to lie to watch the movie that I wanted to. So even on the plane, I couldn't do whatever I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt observed by Mormons, like, oh my God, he watches a movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that was weird. Then I came home, but I had to pretend to my family that I loved my mission so much. I only had joy. I worked so hard every day.
Did you have to pretend because they're already going through so much other stuff?
No, because I didn't want anybody to know that I hated my mission, that I wanted to go home every day, that I was
all
so
the
happy
money that
to
they spent
home.
And everything was just basically.
But also I wanted to be seen like a good Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted them to believe that I loved it. Because
also
even
as a guy
on my emails,
mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I love it so much. But then I was praying to go home. Like, I just had to lie all my mission long to pretend that I loved it, that I didn't want to go home, but that I did it just because I wanted to see my sister, which was true. But
mm-hmm.
also I was so happy to go home just because I hated it so much. And then I pretended, oh, even though I'm home now, my goal and my dream would be to go back on my mission someday if my sister...
To just finish off and everything.
Yeah, that's what I pretended. But actually, like, that was like, I really didn't want to. That was like my worst nightmare to go back on my mission. So yeah, that was how I came home. I didn't talk about the story with the apostle until months because I was too ashamed. I didn't want people to judge me and to say that I was a weak Mormon because I refused to obey him. And I was so ashamed when I came home. when people asked me my age, I said, I'm 19. And they were like, but wait, didn't you serve a mission? And I was like, yes. And they were like, but why, how are you 19? And I was like, I didn't do the 2 years. And they were like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so judged. Mm-hmm. So I even lied on my age when I came home. I pretended that I was 20 because I didn't want people to know that I didn't go through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Which is really insane.
I know.
The fact, the level of judgment that this church actually creates for people.
Mm-hmm. I had to lie for 1 year.
So once you came home, how did things then happen then?
Then I just knew I was done with this church, that I hated it. I did like some parts of the gospel, but the gospel is not just for Mormonism. It works for every like Christian church and even like every church. So I knew I wanted to leave it at some point, but it was too fresh. Like, I was a missionary just before, so I was like, I can change right away. I need to do it step by step. So I came home and I got called to be the teacher for the youth from 12 to 18. So for 1 year, I was the teacher for them. So I had to show up at church every Sunday, even though I didn't want to. But I did it because I was like, maybe it's good for me to be Mormon again. And on that time, I didn't even know if the church was true or not. But I just knew that I didn't like what I've seen in Utah, like what I saw in Utah. I didn't like the Mormon culture at all. I didn't like the apostle. And I didn't like the Book of Mormon. I just knew what I didn't like. But I was like, maybe it's Satan who is trying to make me stop going to the true church. And that's how he will get me, blah, blah, blah. So I forced myself to be a good Mormon for 1 more year. And then, oh, actually, my sister, she died after 4 weeks when I came home. Yes. So then people were like, oh, now that she's dead, why don't you go back on your mission?
Oh, what?
Yeah, and I was like, so I had to invent a story. I was like, oh, I applied to a very good school and they accepted me. And so now if I go back to my mission, I won't be able to go back in this school after. And I really want to do that school, which was wrong because I didn't even apply to even one school. Mm-hmm. But I had
you
to
had to
lie.
Make excuses.
I had to lie to find excuses, not because I didn't want to tell people I
don't,
hate
yeah,
the mission. I don't want to go back ever. So, yeah.
It's crazy to think that even as long as they would have like pushed you on your mission, like, you know, like you really wouldn't know, you really didn't know how long your sister has to live.
Yeah.
You know? So like, as long as they're like, they're taking their time. And then for you, it's, you're kind of like, I don't know when it's going to happen. Like 4 weeks after, like, honestly, that's very short, you know? It's
and she was short. Actually super weak when I came home. So she was in a bed all day long. And so I didn't even.
You didn't even see like the moments where she like, you know, still could at least be a bit more active,
yes,
right?
Yes, it was terrible. And she was so skinny. She could, like, that was, I couldn't do anything with her. And so I felt so guilty because I didn't came home earlier. But at the same time, I knew it would haven't been possible.
And also, like, it's she not would actually your fault, you
yeah
know? But then again, you don't realize that
yeah,
until
exactly
later.
Until later, exactly. But, and I started to have a lot of regrets. And I was like, whoa, I'm the worst brother in the world. I preferred to stay a little longer on my mission. Oh, like I started to feel very guilty, and it made me go even through a deeper depression when I came home because
mm-hmm.
I was like, my sister is dead.
It's somebody's life, yeah.
My sister is dead. I hated my mission. I could have spent more time with her. Now the memories that I'll have for the rest of my life will just be her in a bed. I'm like, oh.
Everything before your mission and then after.
And before my mission, my sister and I, we weren't close at all. And so we started to get close during my mission. And so I was like, oh, I can't wait to go home because now I'm going to have a real relationship with my sister, which I never had. So I was so sad.
And how did your like your family and everything react? Like, were they happy that you came home?
My dad, he left the church before I left on my mission.
Oh, okay.
He didn't even want me to serve a mission.
He's like, don't even bother.
Yeah, and I was like, I will. You're wrong. It's Satan who is talking through you. Blah, blah.
Yeah.
I was brainwashed. My mom was like, I don't understand why you don't go back on your mission. Like, what? You didn't like it? And I was like, no, it's not that. I'm going to my school, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, yeah, but that's weird. Like, if you really wanted to, like, you know, God will help you to go back in this school, blah, 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 even if you... My mom is so brainwashed. My God, she's so brainwashed.
Still till today? And your older sister, was she happy you came home?
Yeah, my sister, even though she didn't know that the church wasn't true on that time.
She was still full-on Mormon at the time.
She kind of thought, yeah, maybe it's the right church, but she didn't want to go to church anymore. She didn't want to follow the rules, and so she lived her life.
Mm-hmm.
So she was happy that I would go home because she was like, hey. Even though I wasn't close to my older sister either on that time, but... Yeah.
But still, okay.
But so my dad was happy that I
came home.
But my mom was sad. My best friend was like, oh.
Shame, like, but he understands.
He was like, if I would be you, I would have stayed on my mission, but I understand. And
Then again, like, the thing is, like, I think it also takes one to know one, basically. Like, from my view to yours, I can say whatever I want to say.
Yeah.
But being in the actual position, the actual shoes, it's a way different perspective, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's true.
And even like my best friend's mom, who is also like my second mom, she was like, "Why don't you go back? I don't understand. You should go. You will have more blessings." Blah blah blah. And I was like, "Yeah, I don't want to." But like I lied to everybody except for my best friend. I told her everything, that I hated my mission. I wanted to go home anyways, even without my
sister dying.
Mm-hmm. And I told her my story with Neil Anderson, and she was like, whoa, what a piece of shit. Yeah, and she was like, oh, my poor guy, like, I totally understand you. I'm so sad for you.
So it seemed like that. It's kind of like only one person can actually tell your
I could be... real honest
mm-hmm.
with just one person.
Mm-hmm.
So that was super weird for me and super hard.
Because, like, actually, like, the thing is, like, I would feel that, like, you know, if somebody in my family was dying, for example, and, like, if I wanted to go home, I'm like, I would think that people would be more understanding about it. Like, oh, yeah, like, there's no, like, it's like, duh, there's no other reason. Like,
yeah.
Like, you're obviously going to go home. They're like, so that's crazy to see, like, you know, like, what people actually thought back then, you know?
Yeah.
I think, like, I feel like today people, they would be more like, I totally see why you went home,
but
you
back
know?
In that time, the mission was way more strict. Like, you couldn't use Facebook for a while. Well, I wasn't able to use it for my first 6 months, but I was able to use it for my six
mm-hmm.
last months. You could only email once a week, but now, like, They use Facebook. They can FaceTime every weekend.
They have a lot of
like,
they have a lot more freedom these days.
Yes, girls can wear pants,
mm-hmm. which girls could not do in the beginning.
Yeah, so like back in the time where I served, it was so
missions
strict.
Were different.
And now it's more chill. It's
yeah.
still strict, but more.
It's
chill.
Way more chill. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. So okay, coming from you came home at 19 from your mission.
Yeah,
and you kind of pulled a lie through basically the whole year until you were, I guess, 20-ish.
Yeah.
And you still lived in south of France, right?
Yeah.
So what happened after?
Then I decided to move to Paris to study, and so I left. And so I wasn't surrounded by my Mormon friends and family. And so I was alone in Paris.
That's when I was there, too.
Yes, we
That's
came
we
at the
met.
Same time.
Yeah. 2018.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I came in September.
I came end of August.
Wow. So yeah, we came at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I was alone here and I didn't have Mormon friends. I didn't know anybody. And I showed up at church and I met some people that were so nice, like Kevin, Loralee. Anna also.
Kevin, all
like,
these people. All
a
these
lot
people,
of nice
honestly,
Mormon
all
people
these people
here.
That, like, they're just very, very nice people.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh, that's good. I will come to church not for the gospel, but just for these people because they are so nice and I just want to spend time with them. I need some friends here because I don't know anybody. So I showed up to church, FHE's,
home evenings,
and like some events just to see people and meet new people and have friends. I didn't care at all about the church. So even on Sundays, I only showed up at the last hour. So I missed the sacrament, which is like the reason why you're supposed to come to church. I didn't care about that. I just wanted to see friends and talk. And so I did that for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that year, I realized that I don't need the church to see the people that I like. And also I started to find some like anti-Mormon stuffs on the internet. But at first I was like, oh, I shouldn't watch that. Like,
what's with that time where once in church, I'm not going to go specifically into the detail of what happened, where like you felt guilty for some reason?
Oh, because I had sex with someone.
I'm not going to go too much detail. Where like you felt guilty, and then what happened when you felt guilty about
so
that?
So that's exactly. So I had sex for the first time when I turned 20.
I remember because I was like in your life at that point. You told me everything.
I know. And so I had sex with that person, and then I didn't feel guilty at all at first.
Mm-hmm.
But then I confessed to my best friend. That just came home, like he came home like a few months before. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I had sex with that person. And he was like, okay, you are a member of the church. You had your endowments. So, you know, it's going to be like not good for you at this point. So you really, really should block that person. Stop seeing that person.
Mm-hmm.
And confess that to your bishop. And so then you will be clean again. And when he told me that, I was like, I don't feel dirty. I don't feel like I should be clean.
We discussed it so many times. That. It's actually like, it's okay.
Yeah, I was like, I love my life right now. I'm so happy. And I don't feel guilty at all. And then I was like, what should I do? And so, so the weekend after, I went to see my bishop and I told him everything. But at the same time, that's when I started to find some things about like against the church and the internet. And so I was like, should I just try to be cleaned up again with my bishop? Or should I just study more in depth the anti-Mormon things and see like if it's real or not, because I'm 20. I need to know if it's real or not. And so I confessed to him and I had a meeting like a disciplinary council. And they told me what I had to do to be cleaned up again. And it was going to be like 6 months long and blah, blah. And I was like, okay, fine. And right after that, I left back to Utah for an internship for 3 months. And when I came back to Utah, I went through a depression again because it reminded me of my mission, how I felt, the mentality, the culture, and I hated it so much. And I was like, okay, I'm trapped in Utah for 3 months. And every time that I'm surrounded by Mormons, I feel so depressed. So what's wrong with me? And so I was like, okay, I really, really, really need to know what I should do now. And so I started to study in depth anti-Mormon stuffs, which in fact are not even anti-Mormons. They are just really informations. And that's how I started to learn about the CES letter that I've read all the way. And that's where I found out and finally understood that Mormonism is all bullshit, that it's all wrong, and that's when I decided to leave the church.
It's crazy because around the same time that you were like discovering the CES letter, that's when I kind of also like thing is, like, I was always out of the church anyways, but when it came to CS, I kind of discovered it at the same time as you did, you know? So we kind of discovered it around the same time.
Yeah.
So
I remember you left a little before me.
Mm-hmm, because I was just not into it, you know, also like roommates. But anyway, but like the thing is, like, I didn't need the CES lab to prove to me what was right or what was wrong.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But at the same time, like, that was just like when I kind of like found, like, I saw it and I was like, oh wait, there's this, and after I saw you knew it about it as well, and I was like,
finally a friend I can talk to.
Oh, someone else knows about it too, you know? But the thing is, like, it's not my job to be like, you know, to convince people what they should and what they shouldn't believe, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, it feels different if you know somebody knows as well. Yeah. And we're like, oh, like, it's like an alliance, you know, like a bond,
like,
that we can have.
You can talk about that. And
yeah.
For me, when I first found out the CES letter, I was so shocked. And I was like, whoa, that's a lot for me to handle right now.
Were you overwhelmed?
So it took me like my 3 months of my internship to really understand and be like, okay, it's all wrong. Because at first I was like, maybe some things are wrong, but maybe not everything, blah blah blah. And I kept praying to know, and I didn't receive any answer. But I was reading it, and then I started to follow Mormon Stories podcast and to talk with ex-Mormons and blah blah, and then like my brain finally understood in 3 months that the 21st years of my life were based on lies. And yeah, so I had to change my whole way of life, but I'm super happy now. And because of that, I left the church. I removed my name off the records actually only last year. But because of that, I came out as bisexual, because I knew my whole life that I was, but I was a Mormon, and I was like, I'm a Mormon, so I'm supposed to marry a girl, but because I'm bi, I know that I would be very happy with a girl. So I was like, that's pointless for me to say that I can be interested by guys as well, because I'm just going to marry a girl and I'm going to be super happy like that. But then I came out and I was like, whoa. So then I can say that I started to experience what love is, not love, but like sex with a man is. And yeah, it confirms that I'm really bisexual.
Mm-hmm. It's not just something that, it's not a phase.
No, like I'm really, and I know that I'm bi since the age of maybe 6. So I always had a crush on a girl, but also on a guy.
Mm-hmm.
I had my crush girl and my crush guy
mm-hmm.
all the time. And sometimes on the street, I was like, whoa, that guy is so hot.
Mm-hmm.
I just know I'm bi. But now I can say it and be my true self,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not ashamed of it. At first, when I said that I was bi, I was so ashamed. I didn't want to come out in front of people. I needed to write it down because I didn't want to
face the
them.
People's
exactly.
reactions and everything. You did not want
exactly.
to go through that.
And they all thought that it was a prank. And I was like, no, it's not. And they all thought it was a prank for days and days.
Oh, you remember that time when you changed your profile picture to like on Facebook?
I proposed a guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like you at one random time, like you just changed your profile picture on Facebook to like the whole like you proposed to a guy, and I think you also had like the pride flag with it or something like that, like around it.
I said like hashtag
gay. Oh yeah, yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
you said,
and the
reactions were
in the
crazy.
Comments,
I was in the comments too, but I was being supportive because things like I didn't know if it was a joke or if it was like there's some truth behind it, but I was either way. I'm like, either way, whatever it is, I'm obviously going to be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, it's like, the comments were insane. And I was fighting with people in the comments.
A girl from my mission, she said, you will not mock the Lord. And I was like, what the fuck is she saying? Like, but also another guy from my mission was like, as long as you're happy, I'm happy. And I was like, wow, like, so some Mormons can be understanding, but some, they're like crazy brainwashed, and I hate
There's
them.
That one person, I think it was that girl who was commenting, and she pissed me off.
Marnie Pete.
Then
we hate you.
So I'm like, I went crazy in those comments. I was like having a fight.
I know.
It was fun, though.
I know.
But it was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy. But now, everybody knows that I'm bisexual. They don't care at all. My friends, my family, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change who I am, because I've always been bi.
Yeah.
And now I just can be my true self, and that's so amazing, and I'm more happy than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't change my life. Like, I will never go back into Mormonism and to any other religion, because for me they are just all wrong. They are all created by men.
Mm-hmm.
Some, they teach you good things, like to be a good person, to help the poor, the widow, the orphan, to be the best version of yourself, blah blah. And I love it, and I want to apply that in my life. But that's spirituality. I don't need a religion that will tell me how to live, how to think. That's not good. That's unhealthy as hell.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say to people who are like, they're in the church, but they know, like, they want to be out, but they're not out of church yet? Like, people who are struggling, because there are a lot of people in this situation. What would you say to them?
You shouldn't care about people's reaction, even though if your parents are still Mormons, your best friends, even if you're the only one in your group who wants to leave the church, don't be scared. Do it. Live your life as you want. Fix your own rules, the ones that you think are the best for you. And just live your life and be happy. And you will have way more joy than being into a church that is homophobic, racist, who thinks that women are just good to have kids and to stay home. Like, just be smarter than this.
Mm-hmm.
And read the CES letter.
Mm-hmm.
Because it proves that it's all wrong.
Is there anything else from your notes that you feel like you want to share?
Well, I've helped a lot of friends leaving the church, and they texted me and said, "We are so happy for your help. Now we're so happy in our lives. So thanks for having opened my eyes." So it happened with like maybe 5 friends, but I'm so happy because 5 friends of mine are super happy now, and they are not into a fake religion, and they just live their life, and I feel so happy for them because they are happy.
I met your best friend, and she honestly, one of the nicest people on earth.
Juliette Ass.
Like, honestly, one of the nicest people on earth, and like such a pure-hearted person.
She's,
you know,
amazing.
Where
amazing.
I'm like, or like when she told me that she was in church, I was like, oh wow, like I was surprised, you know. But for someone like her, I'm like so happy that she like found a different path. Like actually, like at such a young age as well, you know.
And she's so happy now. Honestly, she's never been that happy in her life.
And honestly. It's only well-deserved at this point.
Mm.
It's only well-deserved. You can say that to every single person who has, I guess, been through something. Every single person, I guess, in church, they do have their stories. They know the flaws. Some people, they decide to act on it. Some people, they decide to just stay inside. But if there's anything for the church that you feel like was good in your whole life, which, like, what would it be, like, that the church actually helped you with, or that you felt like was, okay, it's good?
Well, all of the persons that I love the most on earth, I've met them through the church.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy that I grew up in that in the church just for that. My best friends, I know them because of the church.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's it. But then after, like, the rest, you're just like...
Yeah. Except that, and some rules, like, I mean, no, just that.
Mm-hmm.
Just the gospel in general, but it's not just typical to Mormonism.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, because it's like, I think certain things, as in, like, that the church has as rules, as in, like, you know, you shouldn't drink caffeine, or you shouldn't drink alcohol, shouldn't take drugs, no cigarettes. Like, obviously, I see why those things are good stuff, but those are like the easy rules.
Yeah.
The easy rules that every religion has, which I'm like, yes, obviously, I feel like that those are easy to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You should be a nice person. I think everyone should be a nice person, you know? You know, yeah. like it's basic
it's
rules.
I think
what's really just a really major flaw of the church is that it's based on lies.
Yeah, it's based on lies. And this religion, for me, it's not a religion, it's just a business.
Yeah.
Like,
How did you feel more with the years, like noticing that's more of a business than actually a religion?
So in the CES letter, I found out, it's not even that. I found out that the church had actions at Victoria's Secret, mm-hmm. Google, Apple, Visa, a lot of...
GameStop, everything.
Yeah, like a lot of big brands. And I was like...
They have stocks everywhere.
They forbid us to place the money on like risky things, but they do it with the tithes that we pay every month. And we pay that tithe because we think that it's going to poor people, charities, temples. No, it's actually only 0.002% is going to good things,
mm-hmm.
but the rest is going to like...
They have stocks everywhere.
Exactly.
And also
so
in Utah as well, like Utah, like the whole state, the shopping malls are owned by Mormons.
The City Creek Mall, the cost was, I think, $2 billion,
mm-hmm.
or maybe six, I don't know. But
they own the malls. They have
they
money.
They own it, they created it, and now they make a lot because of it. And also, they are tax-free because they are a church, so
mm-hmm.
they are not supposed to pay tax. But you're not supposed to pay tax when you use the money that you receive just for good things.
Mm-hmm.
They use that money to make even more. So
mm-hmm.
they are supposed to pay tax because they make money
all
because
those...
of the money that we give them. So it's illegal.
Mm-hmm. So all those apostles and prophets and everything, technically they don't need to work because all the money that basically we give, well, even not even actually, because that's not even really the, like, it's not, you know, the money that we give, or we used to give 10% of our income,
mm-hmm.
of everybody's income monthly, by the way.
Yeah.
Also, they ask you when you're 12 that you start paying your 10% as well.
Yeah.
As a 12-year-old,
mm-hmm.
I was paying 10% of my income, which is maybe like around 2 francs, something like that, you know, because like, well, I get pocket money like, I don't know, 20 francs a month,
yeah.
maybe, you know? So like, even as a 12-year-old, I'm paying 12 or maybe 14, not even sure what age it was, but I think it was 12. The time when you can start going to the temple, I think, is 12.
Mm, yes.
So, the temple.
Well, this will be in another episode.
I think we're gonna have another episode on the
temple,
on the temple
crazy.
Itself.
Oh, we'll explain you everything.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So even just based on that already as a kid you have to start paying 10%. These people are rich. They have money. They act like they don't in many cases.
They pretend that, apostles, they pretend that they work for free. They get paid $1 million per year.
Jesus.
They get paid $1 million per year with the tithing that we give them. So they don't need to worry about how they will pay their rent, how they will live. So they get paid $1 million, but they pretend that they do it for free. They all lie. It's all a piece of bullshit, and they all know that, but they all lie.
It's crazy, isn't
it's
it?
It's crazy. It's crazy, and it's not fair, and I can't wait for this church to collapse, to get destroyed, because it's unhealthy and it's wrong, and for me, it does more wrong than right to people, except for the one who can't see truth,
mm-hmm.
Who have like
blinders yeah.
on, except for them, it's very not good.
So is there anything that you want to share, like, in general?
Mm.
As like a last words?
Leave the church.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for coming today and sharing your story with me and with everybody listening. It was honestly like it takes someone to actually come out about their story.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy thing. It takes time for people to even process everything that happened because it is such a big mental story that's been happening for your whole life, basically. So thank you very much for being so open with everyone. And we're always grateful to have you back. And hopefully next week
about the temple.
Yeah, next week we're going to talk about the temple for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, thank you so much, and thank you for everybody who has been listening. It's been a hell of a ride, and yeah, thank you.
Bye.